that on a shelf and only took it out to maybe a location where there was an aircraft or something they had to examine. Or in the factory itself, it may have been on a portable cart used very seldomly. Sure, that happens.
Yeah. Date of calibration 10-10-12 to 10-09-13. So definitely at 10-10-12, they have made a calibration and there was a sticker for the calibration. But the full calibration memorized was a month later, 11-12 October. No, it's okay. 10-11. It's actually at the same time. Interesting.
Yeah, well, when they send the unit out to the metrology department to calibrate, they use the official standards, which are not the bench standards. And when it comes back to the bench, the technician who's going to play with the unit, he'll recalibrate or he'll check the calibration. No, I call it verification of what the Mechtronics lab is telling them the unit is, just to be sure, make sure he's within range, stuff like that. But the calibration sticker is from the people who actually do the calibration, verification, and certify the unit. Then it goes to the bench people who are not really the same people qualified to do that. Sure, that's how they work it out.
And then there's another sticker unclassified. Cannot read the date. Probably there is no date.
That standard production is not a classified device for them.
But did they put the sticker unclassified?
Let them know that's unclassified. The book is unclassified, so it's not restricted.
Oh, is that that's why they took out the metal strip with the model number on it?
No, that probably got damaged. That happens, but that doesn't affect the instrument in any way.
Interesting. No single scratch on the device. No single scratch on the sight of it. Unless I have made some scratches when I was carrying gun. It was heavy. And missing plate.
Yeah, well, those plates are only held on there with some adhesive and extreme cold, stuff like that. They can fall off. That happens. I've had it happen on equipment.
So in other words, you don't think that this thing has additional programming or additional something in it that was classified?
No. They don't do that to those instruments. The instruments you're talking about are the ones that are built specifically for a function. Those can be classified, but regular manufactured equipment, it's never classified.
Okay. Or you probably that the lab was classified and when they decided to take it off duty, they put an unclassified sticker on it.
Okay, well, they usually mark all of the instruments that are in the lab so that that information or that particular instrument isn't sent to the wrong people. It has to go through a chain of command.
Chain of the command. It sounds military. Those guys are contractors.
Well, it's like the chain of evidence. The manufacturer or whatever is responsible when they're given classified instruments or non-classified instruments, and there's only certain things you can do with classifieds. Sometimes they're not allowed to be moved outside of the building. There's all kinds of restriction. But that equipment is regular run-of-the-mill everyday stuff that never is classified.
You've got a good point, John. They have restriction to move from corridor to corridor, John. They have a restriction to move from in front of the door to inside the hallway. So I assume I was like, gosh, going from the building to the building. Unbelievable. I mean, that's excellent.
Again, yeah, that's all standard operation. I mean, you're in one room, and you walk down the corridor, and you have to show your ID again. There's somebody there you got to show ID to. And then you go through that door, maybe go down a couple of corridors, try to enter another ID. Sure, people are ID'd all the time. But the instruments that are unclassified, you can, you know, any idiot can buy that over, you know, either on the internet or, you know, direct from the manufacturer, because that's something that's just produced. And the fact that they're using it doesn't mean anything. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they're very tight on.
Yeah, one day one of those Putin pigs would buy something from them. They would have a good look at it.
Oh, I'm sure they have whatever they need. You know, everything's available, including the stuff that's classified. Now, you know, you have what they call restricted, which is the lowest. Then you have classified. Then you have another level between that secret, and then there's top secret, and then there's nonsense after that, you know, pure eyes only and all that crap. There's levels everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, I put some stuff on it. So the two ports are connected to the direction coupler, even though it's not need for it. And the one port that is free out of the three ports, that one that goes to the antenna, actually antenna goes into it. I pulled this, remember I sent you the pictures a long time ago about this Studart, a revolver, attenuator?
Yeah, I remember seeing that, yep.
Yeah, so, I did a stupid thing because, I have a verification kit for end connectors, and in that kit I had a dual male or female, dual female. No. The one that has dual female connector. So I connect one to the direction cover and the other one to one port of the Studart. And then from the other side of the studio, I connect a 50 ohm or short, and playing right now, trying to see what's happening. Although this thing was made up to, I believe, 250 megahertz at most. I'm playing with it. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that's pronounced Stoddard, that company. They made good stuff. Yep, nice to play with.
Stoddard. Okay, thank you very much for telling me the Stoddard. Yeah. Some of the beauty of the past, good to have. Yeah, the Rotten Station, John, there is a one like yours. There is a newer one. See, the one that I have is similar to that one that you have. We've built in the second panel, which would be the direction coupler to port, and goes to 6 gigahertz. But they have one, so my ports are on the right-hand side, like yours, with APC7, but they have another one on auction, and that one is the E version, so the E version is more modern. And like it's gonna go with the pile, like I did the last time. So the pile cost me $1,500 all together. So I bought it for less, but with all of the taxes, schmaxes, whatever. And to exchange.
Okay. So now, what do you have? You're talking about a 52E or a 53E?
Gosh, I don't remember. No, it's E at the beginning of it. So it's a new model. That new model has the APC7 connectors more spread apart between themselves, and they are underneath of the screen. So right now, underneath of the screen, you have your floppy disk, and the E version doesn't have a floppy disk. It does have a place in that point, actually, you have those two APC-7, but more spread. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, mine doesn't have a floppy disk. My floppy disk is external, and that's probably the same for the E model that you're looking at. Now, the E, that means it was made by Agilent, not HP.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, just like all the power meters I have and everything that's HP, but they're Agilent because they're all E models. But some of them are very similar to the HP. They look the same. They're, you know, probably the same thing. They just changed the number.
But the E version has a first queen split.
Yeah, all of the newer ones do. They have capability of four screens instead of two.
Mine doesn't have it. Only two.
Yeah, but yours is an OLED Agilent, so, you know, you got an older unit. No problem. You don't need four screens.
Jerry, but I think I'm sure you cannot put overlay on yours. You can have top and bottom, but you cannot overlay two of them. I wasn't reading the book, but I was reading the specs for all of the models, the C, the D, the E models. No, the D, there is no E. D is the last one. But then it starts with E at the beginning of it. Enter extreme.
Yeah, those are all later models. And I would never use that function anyway. I don't need overlay. It's, to me, that's useless. There's no advantage to having it.
What is the advantage? You take the linear magnitude on both of them. And you overlay them one next on the other, and then you compare them and direction.
Well, I don't need that. I compare them with the graduate.
Yeah. Just more comfort.
It depends on what you're used to. So, you know, if you find that an advantage, you can use it. Like I say, I would have no use for it.
Well, try to overlay the two Smith charts. When you have that yellow graph, not a graph, trace, going all around a few times.
Overlaying a Smith chart would be a waste of time.
Okay. But I put that memorize calibration, and it operates from 1200 to 1400 megahertz, and now I see beauty of Smith chart. It shows me line to the left, line to the right, a little bit curvature on it. All of the traces are kind of not convoluted, are kind of pretty much clear. Enter extreme.
Oh yeah, you get a nice display with those units. I like mine. It even photographs well. It's nice to look at and very comfortable to the eyes. So yeah, I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's that's the nature of temptation. I'm memorizing certain places where I got a good deal, and I know something about those guys, and I know that they don't care, they don't sell the junk. There are a few options that I don't bother. Whatever the price is, I don't bother with those guys, because some of the auctioneers or auction houses are just crookies selling garbage. Enter extreme.
Yeah, I think that describes most of them. So when you find a good one, yeah, you want to stick with them, absolutely. But I don't get tempted, because I only want to buy something when I need it. You know, if I see something that's traffic attractive, then, you know, you say, wow, that's a good buy. But if I don't need it, it doesn't tempt me at all. And the things that I'm looking for, I just haven't seen yet. And when I see them, you know, they're reasonable, I'll buy them. But now nothing tempts me.
I have a problem with what you say. I would compare you to a child. Because the toy, he's got a toy, he plays with the toy for a few minutes, a few hours, a few days, he throws it, and then he wants another toy. But all of a sudden, half a day later or half a year later, he got the trade. Oh, and he plays with it. Although he's got so many choice. Isn't that what you're doing, John?
Well, no, I buy a unit because I need to check something, and I need an instrument for that particular thing, or to learn something. And when I get it, I test it out, and use it, do what I want, and I use them. I don't use them every day, but I use them when they're required. What else they do when they're sitting, I couldn't give a damn less. I don't care. They're only a tool. So it's nice to have them when you need them, though, and that's why I buy them.
There is no difference between you and me. I have a temptation to have something that you have had, you have played, and now it's not like, okay, what do I need it for? I have it. I didn't have it, John. Enter again.
Well, yeah, but you latch on to things, reasonable prices, and it's something you may use in the future, but you don't have to have it for the work you're doing. Just like, I don't buy any radiological stuff because I'm not interested and I don't use it. If I was, you know, playing with those things, wow, there's a million things I could buy. I see it all the time. Reasonable prices and nice equipment. But I have no use for it, so I don't buy it. Even though it's a good buy and it's very nice equipment, well made, and the whole structure, the way that it's formatted, the way it's laid out. Very nice stuff, but just have no use for it.
The time is 12:45 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater.
Newsline report number 1961 with a release date of Friday, April 17th, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The IARU monitoring service identifies new intruders into the ham radio band. A geomagnetic storm sparks auroras over Canada and the United States. Australia may soon...
Newsline report number 1962 with a release date of Friday, April 24th, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An Australian ham radio floater balloon makes a...
W2VL repeater system. N2PPN, N2ZEP.
Saturday night that I saw had been done.
We're coming back up in speed now. It's right before Lakeville Road, not exactly at it, but we're not as fast as we were before the brake check.
All right, no problem. So I actually got to see Stevie yesterday for a few minutes and gave him his package and explained a few things to him and this and that, so he'll be able to get all of his stuff installed and up and running, and then wherever he goes with that is up to him, I guess.
Okay. He never responded to my text message, including the one that said, "You don't love me anymore."
Oh, well. I guess he doesn't love you anymore. I guess that's what happens when cousins fight.
I got a feeling he doesn't have my cell phone in his cell phone, so he doesn't know who the text message came from.
Oh, that's a possibility, I guess. It's always a possibility. But anyway, so he now has all the means and ways to do whatever he wants with that piece of equipment. So, including programming up duplicate stuff and whatnot. So, they gave him the quick tutorial down in the back kit. And now we're good to go. And we were playing simpler. We got pretty decent distance. Rubber duck to rubber duck. Me standing outside on my deck and him just holding it in the car as he was driving. So, it's quite impressive.
Okay. See what happens. When he comes on, I'll find out why he doesn't love me anymore. Doesn't want to respond.
Yes. I guess. So it was a very strange night, Saturday night. Turned into a little bit of a stressful evening.
Emergency repair that you had to do now?
That's UPPN, K6DPZ.
Hey, Hal, what's up?
I want to try cornering you about this fiber optic thing. I got something I got to work with, very important.
What do you got? What's important?
Well, this is a test cable for a piece of equipment. If I can't get the piece of fiber optic working, I can't test the piece of equipment.
Okay. I told you I'd take a look. Haven't had a chance.
Is there any way I can rendezvous with you to show you what it is? You'll bring the piece of optic?
Unless you're going to be running between my house and Brooklyn or something like that, I don't veer off of my flight path. I've got too much stuff going on for side trips.
Not expecting to get side trips. We can work out where I can rendezvous with you. I'll rendezvous with you. I won't make you come out of your way.
Unless you can find an internet link to the cable, showing the cable, and then just email it to me. This way I'll get a chance to look at it. Because all I need to know is what kind of ends it's got on it, and whether it's single mode or multi-mode, and I'm pretty sure it's multi-mode.
Depending on where your schedule is today, if you can call me and I can meet up, I'll bring the cable and show it to you wherever you're at. I can try and sneak away.
All right, we'll go with that.
Do you have my cell phone number and my office number?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's work it that way. No big deal. As long as you can tell me where a spot you'll be, I'll try and rendezvous with you, and that'll be it. No, I wouldn't have you go out of your way. You've got too much going on.
Not a problem. Gary, and speak again.
No, I'm sitting here. I'm still here. Good morning, Hal. You joining us for a conversation? I just wanted to set up that rendezvous setup.
I'd love to join both of you for a conversation, but I've got finish something off here before I get out of Oceanside. But thank you for letting me in, and then you'll get back to me, Rich.
Copy that.
Thank you, K6DPZ, for now, if you're lucky.
So, explored the fact that you're going to be the foster parent to a four-legged friend? You're going to get a visit from your son, and then in a couple of weeks a visit from your daughter. And you're still empty nesting it, although with three four-legged friends in the house, I wouldn't consider that an empty nest.
You should hang a sign on the outside of the homestead that says doggy daycare.
Yeah, but if you put a sign out there, you're going to have to be licensed and regulated and all those wonderful things.
I'm definitely certifiable. But, yeah, I'll just go, you know, doggy daycare, no new clients being accepted at this time.
Yeah. So, how are you going to work this out when you go up to pack up your daughter? Are you going to leave she who must be obeyed in charge of all three four-legged friends?
No, it's not she who must be obeyed. It's she who must be feared and obeyed. And no, she is also traveling with me. We are taking small dog with us in the car because small dog is manageable for long trips in the car and does not mind long trips in the car. Big dog is probably going to go and spend the weekend at the PetSmart pet hotel, which he visited last time when we took her back up after spring break. And he had a good time, was well treated, and got good marks on his report card from the hotel employees. And medium dog, who will be freshly staying with us, may wind up going and spending some time with my sister-in-law over in Oceanside. But that is yet to be decided, because, of course, my sister-in-law is not exactly expeditious in getting things ready for a visitor, like making sure that the backyard is all clear and any little things going on with the fence are taken care of or blocked off or whatever, so that's still yet to be decided.
Does said sister-in-law know that she is a candidate for being a temporary foster mama?
Yes, and she will get to meet and greet the new four-legged friend next Saturday. We're going to have the whole family and everybody, we're all going to get together since my son will be in, and we'll have a little dinner or whatever, so she'll get to meet him. And hopefully she will look into those big brown puppy eyes of his, and she'll commit to this. If not, depending upon how he fares in the vehicle and how him and the little dog get along, it's possible that he may come along for the ride also. I mean, it's only 6.5 hours. The only problem is we would have to just clear it with the place we're staying overnight. They have no problem with one dog. As long as he's quiet and whatnot, I don't think they'd have a problem with the second dog. We told them that it was an emergency and had to take him.
Well, if they say they're pet friendly, they might say yes.
The lady knows us. We've been staying there now at least half dozen times, or not more, when we go up there. So I don't think it's a big deal if we tell her that the dog is well behaved and whatnot, she'll believe us. But we'll have to see. And then we have to see how well he's gonna get along in the car with the little dog, whether or not they're gonna be getting all territorial and whatnot.
You'll see when the time comes. So,
with the little dog, if you have a pile of clothes or jackets or whatever, you know, the dog can just curl up and sleep on that because she's so little. He's a bit bigger, so he takes up a little bit more room and might not work as well in a packed up car.
I have friends who have a summer residence up in Monticello, so they take that trip up there beacons and so on, and they have a full-size standard poodle. But to keep him comfortable, they have basically set up a hammock off of the back seat to the back of the front seat. I don't know how they rig this. This has got to be a sight for the dogs laying in a hammock.
That's interesting. It's quite interesting. I guess it keeps the dog nice and secure. Maybe the pressure of the hammock, you know, around his body helps to comfort him when he's riding in the car. Because I know the big guy gets a little hyper when he rides in the car, and I think it's got a lot to do with the motion of the car, stopping, starting, turning. So the little kid, the little one is like, she couldn't care less. All she wants to do is sit in somebody's lap, and she's happy. Maybe look out the window.
Oh, is the little one one of those dogs that likes to stick the head out the window and have the wind blowing in her fur?
Not really, and that's very dangerous for a dog. All you need is a tiny little speck of anything to get him to get right in the eye. So that's not a great move. Or unless you have a pair of goggles for your dog, which some dogs actually don't mind putting on. I'm sure you've seen photographs or pictures of, like, big labs and retrievers and stuff like that with, like, those old aviator goggles on their heads.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, but I've also seen plenty of people. The thing that I'd be afraid of, if you got the window open and the dog is any size, they could jump. And that can get quite dangerous for not only the dog, but also the motorist.
You never have an unrestrained animal in the car. You always have something on them so you can keep them from doing that. But I think for some strange reason or another, instinctively, they realize not to jump out of a moving vehicle. I don't think I've heard of very many incidents of dogs jumping out of vehicles at speed. They usually seem to jump out of vehicles either at traffic lights or when the car's, like, not moving at all or very, very slowly.
Hey, Rich, you made one mistake. You said you should never drive with an unrestrained dog in the car, animal in the car. Yes, that assumes that the owner is intelligent.
That's why they made that store that sells all of the stuff for animals. Pets smart, people stupid.
All right, we're nice and congested at the ramp to the spiral.
Saturday night was an absolute horror show. I had no idea what the heck was going on over there. I flew in everywhere. Once I hit, like, Jewel of Denial over there, it crawled all the way until I got onto the main line, and I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on. It was just like all these people that just had no idea. And to PPN Mobile, by the way, over here at Little Neck Clam Parkway.
And to ZDP Mobile, approaching the spiral. And you have a similar situation facing you this morning, by the way.
Oh, well.
So have you solved the transportation problem for little she who should be feared and obeyed when she's up in her summer gig?
Not yet. I'll know this week whether or not there's going to be a transportation issue, because she still has not heard from the resort, from the lady at the resort. So there's always still that potential that, you know, they found somebody else or that the spot didn't open up or whatever. So I'm not about to pull the trigger on something until we have a definite commitment. And then once we have the definite commitment, I mean, all these, did you look in the paper this weekend? There were tons and tons and tons of vehicles available for lease. No money down, nothing due at signing, blah, blah, blah. Well under $100 a month.
Yeah, but are you planning a 2-year lease for her or just a short-term summertime gig?
If I'm going to pull the trigger on a lease, I'll pull the trigger on like a 36-month lease, 3 years. This way she'll have something until she graduates. And then if she turns around and we decide to purchase it at the end of the lease, that's something else. You know, this way at least I don't have to worry about transportation for her anymore. And if I get a good rate on a lease, then it's not a bad deal.
Okay, I thought this summer gig was a done deal.
To BBN. As far as everybody keeps saying, yeah, it's a done deal, but until we all speak with this lady from the resort that does the recruiting for the interns, I don't guarantee anything, you know? There's always that possibility they could say yes, and then, you know, and listen, it's an internship. It's not like you're signing a contract for a job. It's a summer internship.
Okay. Oh, what's going on here? We're wall-to-wall traffic approaching the Ogaga.
Don't know. I'm just getting up to the Jose Cuervo. Stevie should be here any minute.
I'll say hello to him when he comes on.
How generous of you.
Well, I'll say hello to him. He doesn't return my texticles.
Text messages?
Friday.
He sent them to the wrong number. Why would you send me text messages? Do I owe you money?
Richie told me to text you about something I shouldn't talk about on the air.
K6DPZ, are we getting it okay? Anybody around for radio check? K6DPZ. Are we getting over the interference?
Hell.
Oh, what was that?
You are hell.
Okay, I just checked if somebody out there wanted to answer.
I'll look on my phone again, but I call seeing anything from you. I'm not in the habit of getting text messages from you.
Why do you have alternator line on your signal all of a sudden?
Chance on the input.
I don't have access to those buttons, Hal.
Okay, no sweat. No sweat. I just wanted to check something. Alright, I'll let you go. Give me a ring, you're on the twisted, and we'll work out something. I'll come to you as I said. You don't have to divert for me.
Because there's thousands of dollars worth of test equipment and you don't know if your radio is working, you have to rely on one of us jamokes to tell you that it's working.
I just wanted to make sure I was getting over the dirt bag. I know it's working. Just I don't know how close the dirt bag is to the repeater versus what type of antenna I'm using right now. The
QT. It's all way too much information, Hal. It really doesn't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you have a point. Let me ask you later, K6DBZ.
Anyway, Peter, the Harlem River without a signal. Go ahead. And to BPN Mobile.
Peter.
Steve, but
back around. What are tagging?
I shouldn't.
Understood. Okay. Yeah, you shouldn't, and that's absolutely correct. Alright, so that's for home in Florida.
I seem to be having an issue with my radio and the voltage. Don't know why.
Your alternator line is back. I'm wondering if maybe something went on with the battery or the charging system.
WOSR.
A little bit noisy, but not bad, but we decided to come back here.